Chapter 13. Mother Yashoda binds Krishna. Sa matur svina gatraya vishrasta kavara sajaha dristva parishramanam Krishna krip asyet svabandane. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.19.18 and Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.7.129. Translation. When Krishna saw Yashoda laboring so desperately that her whole body was dripping with perspiration, and the flower garland which was entwined in her hair braid was falling down, he mercifully allowed himself to be bound by her. Sanatana Goswami says that in describing the life of Yashoda, Sukadeva Goswami became joyful and astonished. The Vatsalya of Yashoda is more special than anyone else's, and even more special than Nanda's, because Krishna is not completely overpowered by anyone else's parental affection the way he is by hers. Krishna is the one who unties the bindings of this material universe, even for those who approach him in the mood of an enemy. He is the giver of the five types of liberation: Sayuja, Shalokya, Samipya, Sharsti, and Sarupya. And above these, he gives the type of special mukti known as Prem. That Prem he can give even to Putana, who approached him in the guise of a mother to kill him. She was given a motherly position in Golok, even though she was an enemy. And her relatives, Agasura and Bakasura, even though they were also enemies, were given Salokya. Yet here we find that the very giver of liberation himself is being bound by Yashoda. Just see what a pastime this is. Outside her house, beneath a large pot filled with milk, Yashoda lit a fire fueled by cow dung, and the smoke was arising in all directions. Then she returned to churning butter. It was early morning, the day after Diwali. And while going about their morning duties, all of the household servants were remembering and singing about Krishna's pastimes. At that time, Krishna woke up, and not seeing his mother, he got up from his bed and began crying loudly. When Yashoda looked over and saw the small naked boy, she took him in her lap and began to feed him milk. At that time, she felt such strong waves of ananda that tears fell from her eyes and milk came to her breasts. There was not even any need for Krishna to suck the milk out. Automatically it flowed, and Krishna drank without effort. Meanwhile, Yashoda saw that the milk she had placed on the fire was boiling over, so she immediately got up from there and ran to it. Before, she wanted only to take Krishna on her lap and feed him, yet now her immediate concern was for the milk. It was boiling over and would not wait a moment. At that instant, she was not thinking whether Krishna was satisfied or not, and even though Krishna was grasping her with both his hands and his mouth, leaving him behind, she got up very easily to see to the milk. The powerful Rakshasi Putana tried desperately to escape the grasp of the same Krishna, but could not. She even flew into the sky and tried to fly back to Mathura, but Krishna clutched her breast with such ferocity that she fell to the ground. Effortlessly, Krishna was able to hold onto Putana. Yet when Krishna desired that, "Mother will not leave me," and he even applied all of his Shakti, still she went to look after the milk and left him sitting there. Becoming very angry, Krishna began crying, and his eyes became red. Biting his lip, as children do, he thought, "Mother left me and didn't feed me milk." And he picked up a stone and broke the butter pot. Yashoda was saying to the milk, "Don't boil over. I need you to prepare sweets for Krishna." But the milk may have been feeling, "What do you need me for?" What is the nature of Krishna's stomach? It can never really be filled. But neither can your milk supply ever be exhausted. Krishna could keep drinking it forever and it would never run out. Therefore, my own life is worthless. If I will never be able to satisfy Krishna, then I will give up my life by boiling over into the fire. Seeing that the milk had risen and was boiling over, Mother Yashoda said to it, "Don't give up your life. I need you to prepare sweets for Krishna." After sprinkling some water on the milk to prevent it from boiling over, Mother Yashoda returned and found the broken pot. Not seeing Krishna, she searched and searched until she noticed his footprints leaning in the direction of the house, and she laughed to herself as she saw him feeding some yogurt to the monkeys and taking some himself. She thought, "Krishna is a real friend of these monkeys. I should discipline him for this, but it would spoil the fun. And besides, until now, I have not done such a thing." So laughing a little, she picked up a stick to frighten him and quietly hid so he wouldn't know she was watching him. She thought, "If he looks this way and comes to know that I am watching, then I will have to at once run and catch him." And Krishna was also alert, thinking, "If mother or anyone comes, I must run away at once." Yashoda saw that there was a group of crows there along with the monkeys. All of them were previously in Ram Lila. The crows there were from the dynasty of Kaku Busandi, and the monkeys were from the dynasty of Hanuman and Sugriva. Krishna was indebted to all of them, so he was feeding them. The crows were below catching the drops of yogurt which fell to the ground, and the monkeys were beside Krishna, taking the yogurt directly with their hands. At first she laughed, but then, very slowly, like a cat, she approached him. And he, whose very name pushes away the influence of Maya for the people of this world and saves them from seeing the Yamadutas, looked at her with fearful eyes. Who could he be afraid of? Was he afraid of Kamsa? Some say that he went to Gokul out of fear of Kamsa, but really he went there to taste prema. He is never afraid of anyone, yet seeing Yashoda, he jumped down and ran away. Yashoda ran after him, and we also desire to catch Bhagavan by our bhakti, but unlike her, we cannot catch him. So many days have passed, and every day I have engaged in chanting Harinam. Yet, as of today, I still have no direct experience of Bhagavan. My heart has not melted, and I have never shed tears for him, and I have never felt ecstasy while taking Harinam. How will my heart become changed? I can see no light at the end of the tunnel or anything. How will I ever attain bhakti? We should consider these things. As long as even a little mundane vision remains within us, we won't be able to catch him. By realization of the subtle plane, we won't catch him, and by realization of the nirgun plane, we won't catch him. Our mentality must be like that of the Brajabasis, such as Yashoda and the other gopis, and then we will be able to catch him, otherwise not. But we are also running after him, and we also possess some eagerness. Perhaps we have performed some sacrifice in the service of our guru, and when we hear Harikatha, we get some devotional feelings. But do we possess that prema which overwhelms Bhagavan? Even the pure-hearted yogis in their samadhi cannot catch a glimpse of Bhagavan's shadow. Yashoda is really giving chase to Krishna, on foot, not by the speed of the mind. That is another thing. She is not pursuing him by the speed of mind, but on foot, and trying to catch Krishna in his manifest form. Sometimes she would come near him, and again he would give her the slip. And like this, he was playing with his mother. If we possessed such bhakti by which we can come near Krishna, then would it be easy to catch him? It would still be very difficult. Even in coming near to him, how far away would we still be? Even though he is always near, present inside our hearts, we are not seeing him there. Yashoda sees him chases after him and catches him. But what about us? We don't perform the required sadhana or bhajan to catch him. We will only catch him when we have sufficient eagerness within us. But first, the urges for mundane pleasure must be completely forgotten. Krishna is running and Yashoda is also running, but she will have to run twice as fast as Krishna to catch him. Sugriva's brother Vali worshipped Surya by performing austerities, and then Surya appeared before him and asked, "What boon do you desire?" Vali said, "I desire the boon that whenever anyone comes before me to fight, I will keep all my own strength, and also take half of my opponent's strength." One day, after having received this boon, Vali was at a river offering puja to Suryadev when Ravana approached him. Ravana thought that he was the strongest person in the entire universe, and with his 20 hands began disturbing Vali by splashing water on him. But Vali simply continued offering his puja with only one hand, and with the other he grabbed hold of Ravana and he held him underneath his armpit. Vali didn't even look at Ravana, like one who has killed a mosquito on his back. Besides Bhagavan, no one could kill Vali, and even then Bhagavan had to use some trickery to kill him. Ram killed him from a hidden position. Otherwise, if he had gone before Vali, Vali would have taken half of his strength, and Ram would also have been defeated. In a similar way, we can see that for catching Krishna, double speed is necessary, then he can be caught. Doubled speed means that our own sincere efforts must be there, and Krishna's mercy must be there also upon us. He loves all jivas, and we must love him twice as much. Then we can catch him. Sometimes Krishna remembers his own Bhagavata, nature as the supreme. But all the time Yashoda loves him with the idea that he is merely an ordinary child, and she gives her everything to him. In this stage of prem, there may appear to be even more affection for the beloved's possessions than for the beloved himself. We may have great devotion to our father, but then if we put on our father's sandals and wear them ourselves, is that real devotion or not? We should respect the sandals of our father as much as we respect him, just as Bharat served the wooden sandals of Ramachandra. That is the correct outlook. That is really prem. But if we are indifferent to the possessions of our beloved, that is not prem. And if we use them for our own enjoyment, that is not prem. Krishna's cloth, his flute, his toys, milk and butter, they are meant for him. A real devotee will sometimes appear to have more love for these things because they are dear for Krishna. With great love, Yashoda feeds Krishna milk. So does she have more affection for Krishna himself or for the milk? Of course for Krishna. But if the milk becomes spoiled in some way, she will be very upset. She thinks, if Krishna takes this milk, he will live a long healthy life. From this milk, I will make sandesh, rabri, kheer, malpura, and so many delectable preparations to feed Krishna. At other times, when Mother Yashoda makes Krishna some beautiful new silken clothes, and after dressing him in them, he goes outside and plays in some nearby mud. Then, seeing him, Yashoda says, "Hey, look what you've done to your new clothes." Then Krishna thinks, "Does Mother have more love for me or for my clothes?" Therefore, devotees may sometimes show even more regard for Krishna's paraphernalia than for Krishna himself. That is one symptom of prem. But what are Krishna's dearest possessions but his devotees? That is why even after performing bhajan for thousands of lifetimes, those who don't respect his devotees will attain absolutely nothing. Therefore, Yashoda went to protect the milk so that it would not be wasted. and when Krishna broke the butter pot, she ran after him to correct him. Lifting her stick, she said, "All right, now I will hit you." Frightened, Krishna replied, "Mother, don't hit me." "Tell me then, why did you break the pot?" "I didn't break it," he said. "Then who did?" "You must have accidentally broken it as you ran by. You are not completely in your senses." Then Yashoda became more angry and said, "And why are you stealing? There are no thieves on my side of the family. You are the only thief in our family." Again Krishna ran off, and again she lifted up her stick and chased him. As she was running, her hair loosened and she was becoming fatigued, but she was determined to catch him. Finally, with the help of some of the household servants, he was caught, and she brought him inside the house. "Now I shall hit you, restless friend of the monkeys. You steal from the home of others as well as your own house. Do you think that that's good?" Krishna replied, "Mother, don't hit me. There is no purpose in hitting me." So she put down the stick and said, "All right, I will bind you instead." So she took the rope from her loosened hair and tried to bind him. His thin waist was so nicely decorated with gold ornaments, and applying the rope to it, she found that the rope was short. She said to the gopis, "Bring more rope." But adding more rope, Krishna still could not be bound. Yogamaya saw that "My master does not desire to become bound now." Therefore, Krishna's waist remained the same size, but by the influence of Yogamaya, the rope was always 2 fingers length too short. Because she still did not have sufficient determination, Yashoda couldn't wrap it all the way round him even once, and everyone watching was astonished. What difficulty should there be in binding such a thin waist? It is like those of us who are presently practicing sadhan bhajan. In general, we believe that Bhagavan is very merciful, but sometimes our faith becomes weak. Is there really so much shakti in the name of Bhagavan or not? Can it really bestow bhakti or not? Will I ever meet Bhagavan? If in the midst of the process of taking Harinam, all of one's difficulties are not eradicated, he may begin to think, "Is Bhagavan there or not?" He may feel that he has attained nothing, that his unhappiness has not been mitigated, his poverty has not been eradicated, and after doing bhajan his whole life, he may merely die crying in disappointment. Rather, we should continue chanting with such good quality faith that we will always be thinking, "My endeavor will certainly be successful." But sometimes our determination is not firm, and many sadhaks fall into the trap of again becoming involved in enjoying Maya, thinking, "I will work hard, make lots of money, build a house and live comfortably." But they forget that one day they will have to die and leave it all behind. At first, Yashoda thought that she would easily wrap the rope around Krishna's waist, but did it happen? Similarly, when we first take up devotional life, we think that attaining Bhagavan will not be difficult. But recognizing the reality of it, we should never become despondent. Many devotees become despondent, but we should always remain eager and determined. After some time, the gopis were wonderstruck, and especially Yashoda's astonishment knew no limit, as they saw that thousands of ropes had been joined together, but still this small child could not be bound. Yashoda thought, "From early morning until now, I have been trying to bind him. The rope has become so long, and still it won't wrap around him even once. Every time it is 2 fingers length too short. Not 1, 3, 4, or 5 finger lengths, but every time it is precisely 2 finger lengths too short. Why is this?" There are 2 reasons for the rope being short. The first, Yogamaya saw that Krishna did not desire to be bound, so Krishna's sanction was not present. And second, there was not sufficient eagerness in Yashoda. There is the kripa of Krishna, and the devotee's eagerness for bhajan. When they both come together, one will meet Bhagavan and overpower him with prema. As long as Yashoda was not sufficiently eager, she could not bind him. But then she became more determined, thinking, "This is my own small child, and standing before all of my friends, I am unable to bind him. Now I will certainly bind him, or else I might as well give up my life." She began perspiring, and her face became red. And Kripasyet Sva Bandhane, seeing her endeavor to bind him, Krishna's heart melted. The influence of Yogamaya withdrew, and at last he allowed her to bind him. Sanatan Goswami says here that there are two types of devotees: those who desire to attain Bhagavan by the practice of sadhan bhajan, and those who rely solely on the kripa of Bhagavan. Mahaprabhu said that both are necessary. Kittens don't need to make any effort. The cat feeds them and nurtures them and carries them everywhere in her mouth. And all the kittens do, all day and night, is merely cry, meow, meow. But baby monkeys have to hold on to their mothers themselves, otherwise they'll be finished. When the mother is ready to cross from one roof or a tree to another, at once the baby monkey runs over and holds onto her around her stomach or on her back and is carried across. She never grabs the babies herself, and if they don't grab onto her, she goes without them, thinking, "What good are such useless offspring anyway?" So which is the primary consideration here concerning sadhan or kripa? Mahaprabhu said that both are primary. No one can actually bind Bhagavan by the strength of their sadhan, but by endeavoring more and more until such great determination comes that all of one's bodily needs and worldly attachments are forgotten, then Bhagavan's heart will melt and he will show special mercy. Bhagavan's kripa is upon all jivas at all times, but not that special mercy by which he can actually be bound. He only gives that upon seeing the intense endeavor of his devotees, like the Vairagya of Raghunath Das Goswami. How could he perform bhajan day and night? The Goswamis would live outdoors in the jungle, such as at Nandagram or near Pavan Sarovar, where a cool breeze is always blowing. They would reside beneath trees, and nearby were snakes, scorpions, and many different kinds of jungle animals. They ate very little and performed extremely strict bhajan. By that kind of bhajan, one can meet Bhagavan. But where is such strictness and intensity in our bhajan? With great comfort we are eating and drinking, and we possess quilts, pillows and chadars. On cold days we have plenty of hot food to eat, and there is never any deficiency in our sleeping. Therefore Bhagavan's kripa is upon us. The kripa of the Vaishnavas is upon us. But it is our misfortune that we don't have the same intensity as the Goswamis. Wonderstruck and experiencing ecstatic symptoms in his description of the glories of Yashoda, next Shukadev Goswami experienced these feelings arising in his heart. Ne mam vrinricho na bhavo, na shriya api anga shamsraya, prasadang labhira gopi, yat tat prapa vimukti tat. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20 and Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.7.130. Translation: neither Brahma, Shiva, or even Lakshmi Devi, who eternally reside at Krishna's chest in the form of a golden lion, have ever received as much mercy as Yashoda did from he who is the bestower of liberation. Although being Bhagavan's own son, still even Brahma didn't attain as much mercy as Yashoda did. Brahma was born from the lotus of Bhagavan's navel. Generally, a father is most munificent to his son regardless of the son's nature, whether he is a criminal or whatever. And usually the son is made the father's heir in all respects. But even such a highly qualified son as Brahma did not receive the mercy which Yashoda did. Coming to Braja, Brahma saw, first this Aparadi Agasura tried to swallow Krishna, and then I saw Krishna give mukti to him. I saw a light leave Agasura's body, fly up into the sky, and then merge into Krishna's feet. That was no ordinary light. It was certainly Agasura's Atma. Many are not able to recognize the divine symptoms of Krishna and only saw him as an ordinary human being. As Krishna prepared to leave this world and return to Golok in his form as Dwarkadish, what did ordinary people see? That Krishna was shot by a hunter's arrow. He began to bleed and he died right there. Others saw a light come out of Krishna's body and go into the sky. Brahma, Shankar, and others saw Krishna return to Golok in his selfsame form as his eternal associates offered him prayers. And what did the higher devotees of Dwarka see? That Krishna didn't go anywhere. He always remains in Dwarka. So according to their different levels of inner development, people saw him in different ways. When Brahma saw Krishna's pastime of giving liberation to Agasura, he became very astonished and thought, "How can I see more pastimes like this?" Meanwhile, Krishna remembered that he wanted to himself become all of those cowherd boys and calves. So here was the opportunity to accomplish all of his objectives in one pastime. In this pastime, he could marry all of the gopis, because if he had kept relations with them otherwise, the people of mundane consciousness would have criticized him. Next, Yogamaya sent inspiration into the heart of Brahma, and he thought, "Let me see what will happen next if I steal the cowherd boys and calves." In the end, seeing how Krishna himself expanded into all of the cowherd boys and calves, how all of their sticks and blankets and everything appeared as four-armed Narayans, and how so many demigods were offering them prayers, he became wonderstruck and immediately fell down like a stick at Krishna's feet. Then he looked again, and everything had disappeared, and only the original form of Krishna remained, standing in his threefold bending posture and smiling. Nabhavo. Shankar also did not receive as much mercy as Yashoda did. And who is Shankar? He and Hari are one and the same soul. For the purpose of showing the ideal standard of worshipping Shankar to the residents of this world, Krishna once worshipped Shankar. Brahma may become offended, but Shankar never accepts any offense. And Krishna assigns Shankar very difficult tasks, even up to bewildering the jivas in his incarnation as Shankaracharya, and Shankar always fulfills those tasks. Therefore, he is certainly the recipient of Krishna's mercy, but not the prasada, the special mercy which is spoken of in this verse. Na Shriya, not even Lakshmi, who always resides on the Lord's chest and who performed austerities and puja at Belhar, received such mercy as Yashoda did. Vimuktidat. Krishna is the giver of liberation. He bestows upon some the destination of Vaikuntha, and upon others even the destination of Golok Vrindavan. But to Yashoda he gave that special mercy which was not given to anyone else, and by which he himself becomes bound. Thus ends chapter 13 of Bhakti Rasayana.